Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, this will be episode number 2 of offer structuring on an 8-plex. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, go ahead and do that. And what this series of episodes is all about is Jeff has an 8-unit or an 8-plex that he made some offers on. And now what he wanted to do is present the numbers to me and see what I can structure. So our last episode, I was thinking kind of along the lines of retailing each unit because, there was information that each unit could possibly retail at $100,000 a piece. So what I was trying to do is just create an offer based on that. And where I took it is, you know, if I could just offer the seller his purchase price and give him a down payment, have him carry a note for 2 years, I could hopefully get all the tenants out and sell each unit on the market individually and make a profit that way. So the seller would carry financing for 2 years. So Jeff, why don't you set the stage here and just present some of the numbers that we talked about.
So first of all, the goal of this exercise is not to just put Jonathan on the spot, but I keep seeing people ask, where do I start? How do I know where to go with these leads? How much to offer? What's the down payment? So having Jonathan work through this, which is, you know, he knew nothing about this prior to us getting on the air, and he's having to work through these numbers just like you are having to work through these numbers. So that's the goal, is trying to help you guys look at some of these properties and have some direction. So here's where we're at. We have these 8 units. They're townhouse style. They're all 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath. Seller's asking for $649 for the property. He owes nothing. He prefers cash, would be open to terms, short term, preferably 2 years or less. These properties could be sold individually. They each have their own tax ID number. They bring in a total rent of $5,150 a month. They're separate meters. We know that the tenants pay electric and water. Not sure if there's a trash or sewer bill. Market rents are significantly higher. When I say that, they rent for $750 to $800. Right now, we are at $625 and $650. Most of the tenants have been there longer term, 7+ years. Property was built in the 81. And then we went through some expenses. Some of these we were given. Some of these we've estimated. So taxes are $6,000. Insurance, $3,800. These are per year. Landscaping, $840. And then we estimated trash of $3,000, management of about $4,800, repairs and or maintenance for $3,000, total of $23,240 for our repair costs, or our expenses, I should say, which is almost, it's $1,936 a month. An expense, if you figure out a current NOI, it's about $3,214 a month. Is that right? $3,214 a month times 12. So it would be a $38,568. That would be our NOI. And if we divide that by the purchase price of what the seller's asking, we're at 6% cap, which is probably on the high side. So Jonathan, does that pretty much sum it up?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to do this time is we're going to try a little different route. Yeah. But by the way, let's talk about your previous offer. Okay. So you were looking at, let's sell these off individually. And maybe you thought about this, maybe you haven't, but most likely you're going to have to list these, with a realtor, right?
Yeah.
Off individually.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to remove tenants. You're going to be probably, if you're doing it one at a time, you're probably going to be at around a break-even cash flow while you have, you know, one vacancy. And who knows, people may start moving out once they start seeing what you are trying to do. And so if you sell it for 100, you're not netting 100. You're probably going to net, you know, 92,000, somewhere in there. And based on, you know, that price range, most likely it'll be FHA, and you could have people asking for, you know, you paying closing costs. So my guess is you're only going to net about 88,000, somewhere in there, for each one. And if you times that by 8, you're more at about $704,000, which is probably closer to, you know, a $50,000 profit as opposed to $150,000.
Yeah, and the way I ran my numbers, just so everyone is aware, I just took $800,000. If we could sell each unit for $100,000, I just times that by 0.93. That would minus my commission, my real estate commission, my 1%. That gave me $744,000. And then I just minus what I would offer the seller, that's $650,000.
So right around 190.
Right around, yeah, 94. So that's, but over 2 years time, that's not excellent. So,
okay.
But you put me on the spot. And so I was like, I'll just go this route.
Yeah, it's all good. You would be thinking this if this lead came in through your CRM and you were trying to figure out what to do. Certainly you'd have to look at that. I would look at that. I did look at it. Probably not the route I want to go. At some point in a later episode, we'll talk about, maybe a little different way of going about doing it, but trying to maximize your profit in a little different way. But, let's go, let's just jump right in and let's come up with a second option. Second exit strategy for you, and potentially a new offer for the seller.
Okay, so after thinking about it a little bit and having more information, what I would think now is, how can I structure this so that I can wholesale this to a landlord and, okay, you know, be in and out of it, make it a great deal for a landlord, be in and out of it in, you know, a month's time or okay, less, right?
Yep.
So kind of what I would be thinking of doing is, just off the top of my head, I'm like, okay, what if I can just, so we're working through this together, guys. So if you're listening to this and you're able to get your calculator out, do that, because I haven't ran all the numbers yet, but I'm going to do that right now. If I could just offer, one second here. If I could just offer the seller, let's just say 640, just to try to work with this. So $640,000 with 10% down. 640. Whoop. 10% down.
So you're gonna finance, ask the seller to finance 576, right?
Yeah, 576.
And that's gonna be your present value. Okay.
Asking for, and I would do a 2-year finance. I'm trying to make this work with their term.
Okay.
Finance at.
You realize you don't have to though, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just because the seller's asking for it doesn't mean that we can give it.
That's correct. Yeah. So that's why we're running through these numbers. So if I could sell this to a landlord, and ask for 15% down, this is kind of along the lines that I'm thinking of. So that, okay, that extra 5% would basically be my wholesale fee. So what is that? 640.
30 grand, 32.
Yeah, 32 would be my wholesale fee, right?
Okay. Not bad, right?
Yeah, not bad for, you know, a deal that you can be in and out of. So that's the long, that's along the lines of what I was thinking. So again, purchase price.
Okay, so how would your numbers be structured so that you could?
Yeah, so that, yeah. Now that's what we need to run right now. So 640 purchase price, 10% down. And then ask for a 2-year financing period. So my thought process is, if I can ask for 15% down to a landlord and offer them a 2-year term, that would give them time to go in, raise the rents, turn the property around, and then refinance at the end of those 2 years. Sure. I think this could be a good deal for all parties. It would give the seller close to what they're asking. And then if we can just create a cash on cash return for our landlord at a pro forma, and then they can refinance later, I think that would be a good deal. So 96,000, 15% of 640, that would give us a $32,000 wholesale fee. Now, the way I would run my numbers to try to get them, I would aim for a 12% cash on cash return for my landlord.
Okay? As is.
Not as is, so pro forma.
Well, pro forma should not be any issue at all. Pro forma is going to be more like 18-20% cash on cash return or better, because you're going to get a significant increase. What I think you've got to do is, we already looked at the NOI as is, and the NOI and the cap rate based on that purchase price is 6%. If you add another 30 to it, it's going to be around 5.5%. And that's where you're going to struggle is you're now trying to sell this property based on what it could be, not what it is.
That's true.
So how do you structure this at around the price that you offered 3.5%. On the last offer, right?
Yeah.
Are you going in less, more? But what would be, you know, the cash on cash, you got to get your payment down, or you got to get the income up. And, you know, you're not getting the income up until later.
Yeah. So, yeah. And my thoughts is, if, you know, a landlord was come buy this, they could just, you know, immediately do a rent increase.
But good.
Especially if it's way below market and it's still in good condition. So that was the my thought process on structuring something.
Okay. So tell me what would be the terms, and then let's look at it.
Okay. So I haven't figured out what the interest rate would be.
Let's start playing with it. But we know that 3.5% pretty much, I mean, there's not a huge difference between where you are right now on the second offer as you were on the first, right?
Yeah.
You were offering, it's $9,000 more, if I'm not mistaken, and at like $1,000 less on down payment. We know around 3.5% is going to be around that $2,600 mark. Mm-hmm. Might be a little higher, might be a little lower. It'll be a little lower.
So if I'm just going to plug in my number. So if the purchase price, let me clear this. So purchase price was 640.
So let me ask you a question, Jonathan.
Yeah.
So we already made a short-term finance offer, a 2-year term, right? You did that last episode.
Yes.
Now, granted, that was a different exit that you had in mind, but Do you think that that particular offer could potentially be wholesaled as well? Why don't we see if that would work right away? Because otherwise you're making the seller like two of the same offers, right? I mean, here's one for 2 years at 649 with 65 down. Here's one at 640 with 64 down for 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
So why don't we look at and see if that first option would work as a wholesale?
Okay. So taking the 650.
Yeah. So we know that the payment would be 26.26, right? And we believe that the cash flow will be about 32.14 a month.
Okay.
So 32.14 minus 26.26 is 588, right? That's the cash flow. So times 12.
Times 12 equals 7,056.
Divided by 65,000, right?
Yeah, 65.
So that's without your wholesale fee.
Right, that'd be...
That would be about 11%. You're close. But let's see, 588 times 12, 7,056 divided by 97,000, right? Because that would be your wholesale fee.
Yeah.
Now your cash on cash is 7.3.
Which is real, it's too low.
Okay. So, but there's a lot of upside.
So, there is.
Yep. So how do we maybe just take the structure from the first offer and restructure it a bit as a wholesale?
Okay. So 650 purchase price, 10% down.
So what do we need to do to get this cash on cash return up?
We need to lower the payment.
We need to increase the cash flow, or we need to reduce the amount of money out of pocket.
Yeah, that's true. Or both,
right? Those are the two variables.
So we could offer less down.
So we could offer a lower price, right?
Yeah.
We could offer less down. We could, that will get us a lower payment. We could... We're not going to increase the cash flow until the new buyer buys, right? So we got to base it on, hey, we've got $3,214 to work with. How do we get a little more money into the buyer's pocket, maybe a little less in the seller's pocket? So we could lower the price. We could lower the interest rate.
Yeah.
Lower the down payment. Right? Because that's the amount of money out of pocket. We could lower our assignment fee.
That's true.
So how do you want to go about doing this?
So I would want to lower the purchase price.
Okay. To what?
640.
Okay.
And maybe see if that works. So
with how much down?
Let's do 6% down.
6% down.
Let's call it 40.
What's that?
Let's just call it 40,000 down.
$40,000. So you're going at 640 with 40 down. What's the interest rate you're thinking?
Let's try 2.5%.
And just a straight amortized over 30 years?
Yeah. So I'm lowering.
That's 2370.
2370. Okay. For that payment?
Went to 3%, you would be at 2529.
2529.
But... Let's look at something. 2529 is basically $100 less than the 2626.
Yeah.
So now you'd be getting 688 a month cash flow. times 12. Are you following me here?
Yes, 688.
So we increased the cash flow $100 a month to the buyer, Okay, so we're going to multiply that by 12. That's what the buyer is going to get over a 12-month period of time. But now you also did a down payment of $40,000.
Yeah.
Or less. Plus, we're going to add what? Your $32,000 to it?
Yeah.
So $8,256, that's the cash flow times 12, divided by $40,000 down payment plus $32,000 divided by 72,000.
Divide 72.
Now you're at 11.5% cash on cash return.
So that might work right there.
That might work.
Yeah. Okay. So purchase price 640 down payment 40,000. They would finance 600K at 3% interest. And you got the payment on that? What was the payment on that?
I did have it. It was like 25 something.
Okay, 600.
It was about $100 less.
Yeah, present value.
But what you did was you reduced that payment.
Percent interest. Yep.
Which increased the buyer's cash flow, and you reduced the out-of-pocket expense to the buyer with offering a lower down payment.
Yeah.
And you could have done the same by, you know, modifying your assignment fee. So what if the seller said, I need more money up front?
I would say, well, how much more do you need?
I need $55,000.
Okay. I mean, it's in the ballpark.
Yeah.
We can do a lower interest rate.
We could do a lower interest rate. We could lower the payment or the purchase price a bit.
Yeah, just by a little bit. Yeah.
Yep. I'd probably say, look, what we need to do is I can get you an extra $15,000 up front. I would need to modify your monthly payment, and that will come from either adjusting the interest, the purchase price, or both, right? Because we know that if more money needs to come to the table, that money's coming from our buyer.
Yes.
If that's one of the key variables in cash on cash return is how much money do they have to bring to the table? So the more money they have to bring, the more cash flow they've got to make, right?
Yeah.
So if we can lower that payment, we're actually increasing their cash flow.
Yeah.
So now I'm proud of you. You worked through that. It wasn't easy.
No.
But you're starting to see the relationship between all these numbers and how they kind of work.
So, yes.
Yep. So what in reality, even though you had a different exit strategy for your first offer,
it was kind of the same offer.
It was absolutely the same. So why not make one offer? And you're allowed to have multiple exit strategies. You just haven't figured out which one you're going to actually do yet.
Right.
But the goal really would be is, hey, I love having multiple exits. If I can get this accepted, then I can start looking at what I want to do with this property. But to me, the two should have been, what you need to realize is that whether you're wholesaling it or you were looking at doing it, the first one was kind of haphazard, right? You were just trying to, I think really what the goal was is that you just didn't want to have to come out of pocket very much when you had a vacancy.
Yeah.
But in reality, why not just structure it based on you're going to wholesale it? And that probably gives you a better deal to begin with if you wanted to sell them off individually.
That's true. Yeah. So if I change my mind on the exit strategy.
Yeah. So again, what some of this is yes, you do want to start thinking about what's the exit, you know, who's your potential buyer if you're wholesaling it.
Yeah.
And if you're not, but maybe you're keeping it for yourself, whether it's to sell them off individually, or maybe it's to hold them and get that increase, because that increase is significant. I mean, do you know where this goes if you get another $100 a month on each unit? I mean, you just increased your cash flow by $800 more.
Month, yeah.
Yeah, you're not at 688, you're at 1488.
Yeah.
Times 12. That's almost 18,000 divided by, even at 100,000, that's an 18% cash on cash return. That might be worthwhile, right? So, and 800 is the conservative number. I mean, there's two of them that I personally think you could probably get $1,000 increase per month. That's getting a couple of top rents, a couple lower, but there's a couple that are at 625 right now. So, but the goal really is looking at what the exit may be, and it may be a little different, right? So you may have an offer where, hey, if this gets accepted, maybe I look at this exit as opposed to a different one. You know, one of the things that we have not talked about, which I would make an offer like this, subordination. I mean, what if you could have made a subordination offer and you could buy this with no money down?
That'd be great. Yeah.
Now maybe you want to buy it and increase those rents and then sell it.
Yeah.
Right? Because certainly worth more at that point.
Yeah.
And you got no money in it, right? I mean, it probably needs nothing in repairs. You got no down payment. So it really depends on where you want to go with this. But a lot of the numbers are the same, right? I still want to know what my cash on cash return would be. And to be honest, even though I wholesale at 12% or better, if I was only at 10, but I'm giving someone owner financing where they're coming in with less than 20% down and they're getting these great terms, hey, that's what you get for, you know, the next 6 months until you raise all these rents, then you got something great. You know, so if you're only getting 9-10%, so be it. That's what it is. You know, but you're getting it as is, not pro forma.
Right, right. So there's that value add, that huge upside.
Yep. So next episode, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know if we'll get through. I'll tell you one offer I made, the one that's been accepted, and what the potential exit strategies are going to be. And then we may even roll this into a fourth episode where I'll tell you about a couple of the other offers I made and what would have happened if those were accepted.
Okay, perfect. I love it.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, hope you enjoyed this episode and me just fumbling through these numbers. But, you know, it's all for practice, right? And really, I learned the most here when Jeff puts me on the spot and says, how do you make an offer? And, you know, I didn't even realize that, you know, my first offer was very similar to my second offer. Just my exit strategy changed. So on my second offer, I was just thinking, okay, how can I wholesale this to a landlord now and make, you know, a $35,000 wholesale fee and be in and out of it in a month? And then it's just a matter of playing with those numbers. And like you said, Jeff, we can lower the purchase price. We can lower the down payment. We can lower the interest rate. Those are ways that we can get the numbers down and increase the cash on cash return for our buyer. Because really there's not much, I mean, if we're buying it as is, the upside potential is still there, but there's not much we can do to really increase the income that it makes. So those are kind of my takeaways, and hopefully you guys are able to follow along with this. If you're not, like, really just go back, listen to the episodes and try to follow along with your calculators, because you're going to get the most, benefit out of these episodes by doing so.
Do you know the doors that you can open when you understand how to do this? I mean, this property we've already identified as basically being sold at a six cap.
Yeah.
And it's not a market six cap. I can tell you that right now. It's seven and a half. So we're overpaying for this property. And I'm showing you how you're going to make either super, super cash flow by holding it yourself, or making a nice assignment fee and being in it and out of it in probably 10 days.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, guys, we'll stay tuned for the next episode and we'll continue to talk about Jeff's offer on it now. And then hopefully we can get to the rest of his offers. Not just the one that was accepted, but the other ones that he made. Guys, right now, if you guys are interested in the Creative Financing Academy, please leave us a message on our hotline and we'll get you info for that. Let me give you that phone number first of all. So that phone number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. Also, you can text CFP to that number, Creative Financing to that number, to get access to a free video that Jeff did on offer structuring start to finish. It'll kind of give you a taste of what the course is like. So if you're interested, text Creative Financing or CFP to that hotline number. You can find all of our episodes online at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com and the Creative Financing Podcast on Facebook and Insta. And we're building a Facebook group there as well with some people that can really answer a lot of your questions that you have. Any last words, Jeff? What am I missing?
As always, have an apprentice program looking to work with just a small group of people all over the country that want to make a difference in their lives. Focuses on wholesaling. It's an action plan. You will actually be doing what we're teaching you. And it is set up for people that are working full time, have families, and only have 5 to 8 hours a week to spend on real estate. So if you're interested in that, give us a call. I'll send you some info on it.
Awesome. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.